Thank you for those wonderful songs. This evening, if you're invited back, it's about 6 o'clock, and we're going to be looking at the book of Psalms. Now, I'm not going to look at all the Psalms, but just a couple of them. And what I need from you is for you to pick out a psalm or two of your favorite. I prefer that you not use Psalm 1 or 23, because that's kind of a very common one. Tell us a little bit about that psalm and also why it means something to you. So that's at 6 o'clock this evening. Now this morning, you kind of noticed I'm not dressed normally. No, this is not normally how I dress anyway. I am wearing what is called a dobok. Now a dobok is a uniform used in Taekwondo. Taekwondo is a Korean form of a martial art. And as a martial art, you learn to kick, punch, block, self-defense. You also learn some self-discipline and self-control. However, as I've gone through this Taekwondo, and I've been in it for a number of years, I've learned quite a bit about myself and about my relationship to God and what I need to improve on in my relationship to God. And one of the things that I need to improve on is humility. Now, when I first started Taekwondo, I didn't know anything. I just didn't know I didn't know anything until I got to my first class of Taekwondo. I had sweats on, and there was all these people running around. Now, realize I'm in my late 40s when I started. And here are these kids, and they're running around, and then there's some adults, but not many. I mean, I'm older than dirt compared to some of these people. So Kyla, who is doing children's church, she's our instructor, main instructor, she comes in, and everybody comes to a halt and bows to her. I'm like, what's going on here? You know, it's just Kyla. She was a friend. And what was happening is she is our main instructor as a black belt. And as a black belt, you are to bow to your instructor out of respect. Now, humility in our society is not an attribute that people pursue too much. And I think part of that has to do with we don't know what humility is. Some people believe that humility means weak. You know, you've heard the term meek is weak. Or sometimes people find that it means self-esteem or low self-esteem. But the Bible is very complimentary and encourages humility. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verse 33, it tells us, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility." And then in Proverbs 16, verse 18, it tells us, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. It is better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." So what does humility mean? Humility means basically it's power under control. A horse, if you will, is a humble creature. It's a powerful creature. But once it is trained, you control its power for the good of man. I mean, the horse can be ridden or used for plowing or hauling things, as the Amish often do. So it's power under control. Now, sometimes we don't, and it also means to be teachable by whatever means God chooses. I mean, God can choose to teach us through Taekwondo, through a child, through a preacher, through our Bible study teachers. Any means, we need to be open to God's teaching. Now, I think that Humility also involves confidence. There are people throughout history that have been called humble that I would not have called humble. But we find, for instance, that Jesus was humble. It says in Philippians 2:8 that Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto the cross. We find that Jesus ran out money changers. We find that Jesus endured beatings to get to the cross. That was no man of low esteem or weak. We find people such as D.L. Moody. He was considered, D.L. Moody was a 19th century evangelist, and we find him as being complimented as being humble. We find that Moses, in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, was considered one of the most humble men in all the earth. Yet, he was a very powerful man and a bold man. Another thing that humility means is admitting that we need God and we need others. I need you. You need me. It's not an option. It's just not an option. We are social beings. God made us for each other. And to say that we are self-made people, as we say in this country, is a lie. There is no such thing as a self-made person. You look in Luke chapter 12 and verses 22 and following. It is God who provided the abilities. It is God who provided the opportunities. The second thing that I'm learning and continue to learn from my Taekwondo is to place my hand in God's hand with faith. Some years ago, there was one of the kids, and we were breaking boards. And this particular kid was trying to break this board. And for whatever reason, he just was not able to do it. And I thought this was a beautiful picture. Master Lee, our grandmaster, took the boy's hand in his hand, and together they broke the board. What a wonderful picture of God placing his hand in our hand and being able to do great things for him. For we cannot do it without his hand in our hand. On the other hand, I have seen where the kid was not trusting of the master, and as a result, could not break the board. Philippians 4:13 says, we can do all things through Christ which strengthen us. And we can. But we got to have faith. We got to have confidence in the Master. Another thing that I've learned is that it's important to do one's best, but it doesn't have to be perfect. Colossians 3, verse 17 says, whatever you find to do, do in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you've not figured it out, I am a black belt. And some of my kicks aren't very pretty. Like I said, I started in my late 40s doing Taekwondo. And so because of age and whatever, and lack of exercise, I'm not able to do some of the things that the kids are doing. But I thank God for my masters, my teachers, my grandmaster, Jerry, who's back there, and others who realize that I can't do it. But you know what? They just expect my best. And if I don't give them my best, especially Kyla, I pay a price for it. You know, I pay push-ups, or she may say something to me. But see, the thing is, with where I'm at, I feel comfortable that if I make a mistake, it's okay. I'm a recovering perfectionist, as I put it. When I was in seminary, I made 2 B's and the rest were A's. And I was just so frustrated over the B's. Everybody else is like, what's your problem? Well, I'm a perfectionist. But I'm trying to get over that. Because it took over too much of my life, my emotional life, my family life. You pay a price for being a perfectionist. And it's not worth it. A fourth thing that I've learned to do in Taekwondo is to meditate on Scripture, especially during painful times. And what I mean by painful is meaning literally painful. Now, sometimes Kyla has us put our backs against the wall and sit. And you're not sitting on a chair. And then we sit there for a while. And after a little bit, less than a minute, it starts hurting. It starts burning in your thighs. Now, Kyle is doing this along with us. Don't get me wrong. And so you sit there, and the only way I could figure out how to do what I was supposed to do is to pray the Lord's Prayer, say a psalm. Kind of gets your mind away from some of the pain that I may be enduring. And I think that's the same way when we face emotionally painful times. We need to go to the Scriptures. Not to deny the pain, but to help us with the pain. And we are also called on in Psalm 119:11 to meditate on God's Word that we may not sin against God. If we don't, let's face it, we're all going to sin. But we don't have to, we choose to. A fifth thing that I've learned, and it goes back to the other one, but that mistakes are permissible, but sin is forgivable. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, we learn from the past, but don't stay there. There's a saying in football with quarterbacks that they need a short memory. When they throw an interception, they sometimes, and anybody would, get shook and they're afraid to make another mistake. And the problem is, if they do stay in the past, they'll make the same mistake again. Learn from the past. But don't stay there. A sixth thing is to focus on your goal. Philippians 3:13b-14, and where Paul is talking about that he presses forward to the prize. He's looking ahead to becoming like Christ. Now, don't forget that St. Paul endured all these persecutions. I mean, he was beaten. He was unjustly persecuted by Jews and Gentiles alike. He was put in jail. He was shipwrecked. He was all these awful things. But you know why he stayed? Why he did what he did? Because he was focused. He was focused on the goal. And folks, I think it's important that as individuals, we have goals in our lives, both personal and professional. Because what I think goals do, it gives us meaning, gives us purpose, gives us reason to get out of bed. But in order to realize the big goal, we need to set small goals. When I was going through Taekwondo, getting torn my black belt, that's the thing I was focused on, is I wanted a black belt. And I went through some discouragement. Sometimes my muscles ached. Sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, am I going to live through this session? And those kinds of things. But I set my goal on the smaller belts first. And then I was able to reach the goal that I had at that point, which is to be a black belt. And really, to be honest, I like this patch. I think it's cool, you know. I really wanted that patch, and you had to work. But I focused, not on the pain, but on the goal. And I think it's also important to dream. Dreams are beyond what we have as personal goals. And to be quite honest about it, I think we as a church body have quit dreaming. Many years ago, this building was a dream of this congregation's. Many years ago, we dreamed of filling it up. Where's our dream now? Do we have any as a congregation? Dream with all your heart, for when a person quits dreaming, or our group quits dreaming, I think they start dying. Another lesson that I've learned is that people are always looking at our example as we are looking at others' examples. During Taekwondo, we do what is called a pumse. Now, a pumse is basically a series of pre-arranged moves. So if Jerry, for instance, calls ill, we know this is what we're going to do. And we're going to do it as a group. Now, the problem is sometimes, at least with me, if I'm not concentrating and I'm really just looking at the person in front of me, and they goof up, I'm going to do the same goof up. And the same thing, I imagine, with somebody behind me. If I goof up, they're not concentrating, they're going to do the same thing I did and goof up themselves. And I think it's important that we realize that somebody, and you may not know who, is looking at you for your example. And is looking at me for my example. And I'm looking at somebody else for another example. And when I goof up, or they goof up, or somebody goofs up, it affects other people. Folks, we are not islands unto ourselves. We affect others, whether we like it or not. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, it says that we are to be an example. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, Paul is worried about being a good example for others. And he says he buffeted his body that he may not be disqualified from the ministry. Another lesson that I've learned is that we need teachers. We need masters. Teacher and master in this case is the same principle. Now, as I have two or three, I got Grandmaster Lee, Master Jerry, Master Kyle. I go into Taekwondo. They taught me everything I know about Taekwondo. I still mess up. And I need somebody to tell me I've messed up so I can do it correctly, so I can do it safely. And most people don't know this, but I've taken up, as a hobby, samurai sword fencing. I don't have a master for that. I got a book. I can go on YouTube. But I don't know if I'm doing it right or not. If it feels good, it must be right kind of thing, which isn't always correct. And it's the same thing in the Christian life. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says that forsake not the assembling of yourselves. The idea is to come together to encourage each other, to learn from each other. Romans chapter 12, verse 7 talks about spiritual gifts. And one of the spiritual gifts is that of teaching. I want our Sunday, our Bible school teachers to stand, if you would, please. Would you please stand? All who... I want you to look around. You see these people? All right, you may be seated. These people study day in and day out. They're smart. Tom back there is probably thinking he's over-exaggerating now. But anyway, they're smart people. And I'm involved in a Sunday school class. And I don't know about the others. I imagine they're of the same quality. But we have smart groups. And I learn, folks. I have a seminary degree. I spent 7 years learning the Bible and learning, and I've been in church ever since I was a little fella. And still, day after day, Sunday when I can come, I learn. I learned something today. And I will continue to learn to the day I die. To say that we are lone rangers in the Christian life is not biblical. We are meant to be taught by each other. We need masters. We need teachers. Or we cannot do it alone. The ninth thing that I learned is that I'm dying. We are all dying. I got that figured out one day when I was sparring a teenager. Again, I'm in my late 40s, early 50s, or something like that. And I'm sparring a teenager. Sparring is a kind of like a fighting match, a controlled fighting match. We have pads and everything. So I'm sparring this teenager. And I'm holding my own. And then they break. They break us. And it was so unfair, I thought. The teenager was getting advice. I was wanting oxygen. You know, I'm over here. But as we get older, things happen to our bodies. In essence, we decay. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, beginning of verse 1, it says, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth." Yeah, for some of us, that's gone. "Before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, 'I have no delight in them.' Before the sun, the light, the moon, and the stars are darkened, and clouds return after the rain." In other words, you're starting to lose your sight. You need glasses. "In the day that the watchmen of the house tremble and mighty men stoop," you start shaking. "The grinding ones stand idle because they are few." You've lost your teeth. "And those who look through windows grow dim. And the doors on the street are shut as the sound at the grinding mill is low. And one will arise at the sound of the bird. And all the daughters of the song will sing softly." You're losing your hearing. It's basically what that says. "Furthermore, men are afraid of a high place." Phobia. "Enough terrors on the road, and the almond tree blossoms, and the grasshopper drags himself along, and the caper berry is ineffective. For man goes to his eternal home, while mourners go about in the street. Remember him before the silver cord is broken, and the golden bowl is crushed. The pitcher by the well is shattered, and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who will give it, who gave it. Basically, it's saying we're dying. And here's the symptoms that we are dying. And while death has no respecter of age nor of persons, I'm a chaplain in a hospital and I've seen all ages die from various things. It's important that we always be prepared to die. And we need to be prepared to die by, first of all, accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior, by believing on Him and repenting of our sins, confessing our sins to God. And another important part, I believe, of being prepared to die is to have wishes, your wishes, written on paper. Your wills, your power of attorneys, your living wills. For if you have those in the time of need, your family will have a much easier time of knowing what to do. The last thing that I've learned is that there are no accolades, or if you will, awards from this earth when we go to heaven. Ultimately, all the stuff that I have on, this belt that I've earned, in heaven, not going to be there. These patches that I have on my shirt, ultimately, not going to be in heaven. Is there anything wrong with those? No. But what have I got left? Years ago, when my father had died, and so I had his wife, we went through their things. And here was some of his accolades, his awards for selling real estate. Guess where they were at? A pile somewhere else. So what does go to us with heaven? To heaven? Are we to be Billy Grahams? No, not all of us can be Billy Grahams. But the simple things. That water that you gave that person. That person that you saw in the hospital and visited in the hospital. That person that you went to comfort who had lost a loved one. Those are the important things according to Matthew chapter 25, 31 and following. The simple things. The compassionate things. Compassion means basically I have pity on someone and enable and are willing to help that person in every capacity. I can remember years ago we were in Indianapolis and my father and I and my family, we were staying in a motel. It was in the middle of winter. It was Christmas. And this elderly gentleman, and we didn't know him from a hole in the ground, and he comes around, and my father just happened to be in the right spot at the right time. And this elderly man, he was confused, scared, lost. And he wanted to go somewhere to meet his daughter, and he didn't know how. So my father, he got on his phone. Yeah. contacted this man's daughter. They made arrangements to meet his daughter. Folks, that counted. When we go to the nursing home to meet the people, even if they have Alzheimer's, they don't remember that you were there. But God does. I'd invite you sometime to read Matthew 25, the verses 31 through following. The little things. And serving others is a great thing to do for the glory of God. Let us pray together. Our Father and Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you for the guidance that you provide us. Help us during this invitation time to seek your face, to do your will. Help us to dream with our hearts and in accordance with your Holy Spirit. For this we pray in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.